Well, there's one word, at least one word, in the Bible that is the same word that's transferred from the Hebrew into the Greek, and then the same word transferred from the Greek into the English. There might be more than one word. I didn't take the time to look it up. But this word seems to be of utmost importance. Any idea what word that might be that is the same word in the Hebrew and then the Greek and then the English? It is the word amen. In the original Hebrew, it was a word that was never to be uttered lightly. Now, I don't think we here are in any danger of that, but it was a formal solemn I agree or I affirm. And it was always in the context of God or Yahweh in the Hebrew, which again was never a word that was to be uttered lightly. Most simply, the word amen means a very bold and earnest yes for us in addressing God. And yet this morning, we are celebrating God's great amen to us, that which was found in the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Actually, our call to worship, which Alex read, says it all. For all the promises of God find their yes in him, him being Jesus Christ. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Easter is the celebration of God's great yes to us through his own Son, Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of all the promises that he actually set into place before the world even began, before he even created the first two human beings, Adam and Eve. Leading up to Easter this year, we have been working through the letter to the Hebrews. And we have discovered that it is a rather difficult letter to follow. But the letter to the Hebrews is all about God's great amen to us. And by no chance or planning of mine or Alex, we find ourselves today, through the work of the Holy Spirit, in the middle of the letter of the Hebrews, where it reaches its climax, where it talks about and repeats certain themes which are all about highlighting God's great amen to us. And here we are this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. And if you don't, I just invite you to follow along. And it is, once again, a rather long passage of Scripture, but very important and very appropriate for this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. But when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, and you need to follow me here, for where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified without blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. And then it goes into chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then Jesus said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasures in sacrifices and offerings," and then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will," he does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then on to verse 15, "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' declares the Lord, 'I will put my laws into their hearts and write them on their minds.'" And then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin needed." Do I get an amen? Sin has already been taken care of once for all. Jesus' last words as he hung on the cross Friday afternoon, recorded in the Gospel of John, "It is finished. It is finished." God's great plan of redemption that he set into place before the world ever began came to completion in Jesus' death on the cross. And many people today question why Jesus died on the cross, and even whether or not he really had to die on the cross. And the answer to that is a resounding yes. Amen. You see, God takes all of our sin, from the very least of them to the very greatest of them, he takes them all very seriously. And the penalty for our sin, all the way from the very least, the smallest, is the exact same as the very greatest. The penalty for sin is death. And while we as human beings might not like that, or it seems to be rather unfair, the truth is we humans do not set the rules. God set the rules, and then he said the penalty for disobeying the rules is death. No one captured it better than the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, where in chapter 5 he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then in the very next chapter, he tells us what the penalty for those sins is. "For the wages of sin is death." God set the parameters that the penalty for our sin or our sins is death. And that the only way they can be atoned for is through the sacrifice or through the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, it had to be through the blood of all the different sacrifices of animals, whether it be goats or heifers or many others, and they had to be from the best that they could find. It had to be the firstborn, and it had to be those without blemish or defect. And then they had to be presented by priests who supposedly had clean hands. And it was believed that those sacrifices were only for the Israelite people. But you see, the Old Testament plan of redemption was only temporary. It was only a copy of the more perfect plan to come. The original plan actually could not do what it was set out to do for many reasons. I can at least come up with five. First of all, they had to be repeated over and over and over again. Second, the sacrifices themselves were never really perfect. They were never really without any blemish or defect. Third, the priests that were offering them never had completely clean hands. Fourth, God's plan of redemption was always greater than the Israelite people. His plan of redemption was for all. And fifth, those sacrifices never changed people's hearts. Enter Jesus Christ, God's great Amen. When Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. He offered himself without blemish to God, to purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from their transgressions. While we might not like the rule that God set that says there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood, the good news is, the great Amen, is that God even provided the sacrifice, the one human sacrifice which was without blemish or defect, the only one with clean hands, and the only one that can change human hearts. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written for me in the scroll of the book." Jesus came to do what none of us on our own could ever do, and that is God's will. And by Jesus offering his own body as the sacrifice, it says that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. Because Jesus did God's will, offering his own body, he lives and he offers us eternal redemption and eternal life. It says that Jesus' sacrifice was for many. Well, the truth is that Jesus' sacrifice was for all. Jesus' death on the cross has or had the potential of providing forgiveness of sins for all. But the truth is that throughout human history, and even today, many will not accept the free gift that God offers us in Jesus Christ. Because it comes only through repentance, the acknowledgement of our own sinfulness, and our agreement with God to try to turn from that sinfulness, and then to put our complete faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. But the truth is, for those of us who have repented and do have faith in Jesus, our sin has already been dealt with. As the Apostle Paul says, we are free from condemnation. The only thing we need to do is to be faithful as we eagerly await Jesus' second coming. You see, many people today will show up in churches around the world. Many who don't attend church on any other Sunday of the year. And even for ourselves who attend on most Sundays, we need to ask ourselves why. What is it really all about? Is it really about me? Is it about the nice people that are sitting around you? Is it about the nice breakfast that the youth provided this morning? Or is it about the nice clothes I get to wear on Easter for the first time? Or is it about the music? The answer to all those questions is a resounding no. If you have come this morning for any of those reasons, then you've missed the mark. The only right reason for coming this morning to celebrate Easter, in fact, not just on Easter, but on every other Sunday of the year, is to give a resounding yes or an amen to God for God's great amen to us. The gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain for the world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We come this morning not for ourselves, not for all those around us, not for all those other things. We come this morning to give glory to Jesus Christ, he who is God's great amen to us. Let us pray. Lord God, this is the day that you have made. The day that you have brought your entire plan of salvation and of redemption for the entire world to completion through the gift, the unearned gift of your own Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who was without blemish and defect. And yet he gave his own life. He shed his own blood for the forgiveness of all mankind's sins. And that whoever shall repent and believe in him has already received no condemnation, the gift of eternal redemption, and the gift of eternal life. It is only through him, for his glory, that we give the great amen.